Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
You are listening to the National Obsession, a National League football podcast with Charlie Baker and John Cadogan. Here's John.
We're back.
There he is. He's back. John is back. And we've had a couple of weeks off, John, haven't we?
Mainly
due to being in a massive mood about the whole situation.
Not in the slightest, but yes, hello, Charlie. Hello, obsessives. We are back. We weren't sulking. We just had other stuff on.
Other stuff on, John. Half term. Well, this season has gone on forever. It feels like it will never end. It's going to end. England could be out of the Euros.
Before it's
over. We could still be playing. It's unbelievable. It's just gone on too long. I don't like anything that goes on too long.
No, I wouldn't say it's outstayed its welcome, but brevity. Brevity is the word.
Exactly.
Short and sweet.
As Shakespeare said, John, the 2 hours traffic of our stage. That's all you need in a show, in a play. I think football should be 6 months of the year tops.
8 months so far and counting.
We could have had a baby, John. You and I.
A National League baby. A Nat Hobbs baby.
You could have got me or I could have got you pregnant.
Yeah.
During a podcast. It would be such
It's 2021.
Do you know what? If we'd wanted to win awards with this podcast, John, that would have been a lovely, lovely thing to do. That I got you pregnant right at the start of it.
A little baby Gary.
A little baby Gary. Born on June 20th at Ashton Gate. Would have been a brilliant story, wouldn't it, John?
But yeah, speaking of the Euros, I think you may well have seen Phil Foden of Man City. He's done his hair in the style of Paul Gascoigne. Did you see that?
I did see that, John.
Bleached, blonde, well,
international.
In honour of the playoffs, I've done my hair like Gary Johnson. So,
very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's what I've done.
Now, I've got a question for you, John. It's National League based. Phil Foden or Scott Bowden? Who are you taking?
Is it Phil Foden or is it Scott Bowden?
Now, can you tell me, is it Phil Foden? Who would you take, John, in the National League?
Oh, it's a good question.
Because, you know, Foden might
not
be up to it.
I'd probably go Foden.
But he might not be up to it, John. He might get kicked all over the park. Mightn't he?
He might not be able to cope with the rough and tumble of the week in, week out in the National League.
Exactly.
Put him up against those giants at Boreham Wood.
Exactly. Joe Kizzy elbowing him in the head.
Yeah.
You know, all those sorts of things. Harry Buterman trolling him on Twitter. Do you think he's going to cope with that? Harry Buterman's brother.
Yes, Harry Buterman's brother.
Not Harry Buterman. Harry Buterman's brother ganging up on him on Twitter. Think he's going to cope? I don't think he will, John. I think that's the sort of thing.
I like it.
Is it Asa Hall or Michael Ball?
Speaking of Gary Johnson as well, by the way.
Were we?
I was a little while ago.
Oh, yeah.
Since we've been on a break, I'm delighted to say my 30th birthday present from one Charlie Baker arrived. And finally. Boy, is it exciting.
What a cracker, John. What a, tell everybody what it is.
Now the proud owner of the Gary Johnson Vanarama New Balance jacket.
It's not actually Gary's, you know
it's
that.
It's not
you,
Gary's.
You're very aware of that.
But it is the same jacket that Gary wears on the touchline.
Yeah, you're going to look so smart, John.
It's a cracker. I've got it. I'm wearing it now. I've just put it on.
We've already discussed how you should wear it to like family occasions, like job interviews, just to give yourself that little bit of extra gravitas.
Just call me Gaffer.
Exactly. Just call me Gaffer. Okay, John, sit down. Oh, can you call me Gaffer, please? And just start pointing. And looking at Aaron Downs.
Wheeling in a whiteboard.
Exactly.
Moving magnets around. You do feel
okay, well, I've got a question. I've got a question for you.
Good frog.
Good frog.
But the bad news...
Any questions for us, John?
You...
Yes. Good frog.
But the worst thing was you left it for me at the offices
at work.
Mm-hmm. And I picked it up and was going out for dinner that night.
Oh, lovely, John.
And it just happened
posh, was
that
it?
before this current sort of little heat wave we're in at the moment, it was quite chilly. And it got to a stage in the evening where I had to put it on.
Oh, lovely, John. I bet you got into all the finest establishments in town.
Just opening the velvet rope. There we go.
Exactly. Waving you through the Ritz. The Ritz. Waving you through. Well, I hope you enjoy it, John. It's going to be lovely to go football in it, isn't it? It's a bit warm now, isn't it? Of course, because it's, what is it now? June? July, nearly?
If we get to the final, I will wear it.
Bloody hell. COVID, National League.
Shall we crack on?
Crack on, John. What have we got in the podcast?
On this week's edition of the podcast, well, we've got a bit of news because we haven't been with you for a couple of weeks.
Not a lot been going on, is it, John?
We have a National League champion and we've had the first leg of the playoffs. So we'll update you on all of that, everything that happened there.
Lovely. No, we're not sulking in any way, John, because we're a full National League podcast.
Not
so
in
all
the
we
slightest.
Do is report what's happened in the whole National League.
So we will go through those. Speaking of National League champions, which, spoiler alert, was Sutton United. Doesn't matter. Fine.
Worthy champions, John. No
very
bitterness in my
champions.
Voice.
No, not at all.
Not
no,
regretting
gritted
standing
teeth.
In their car park singing, "We're on our way. We're on our way."
Yeah, they had the last laugh after I leapt out of my seat. Ace of all scored.
Unbelievable roast from Bruce, the chairman of Sutton United, by actually winning the league.
Yeah, he very much had the last laugh. But yeah, we will be speaking to Gandemonium.
Yes.
Who are the Sutton United
blog,
social media, Twitter
funny
feed.
Funny bunch.
Very funny guys. But this is the thing, we don't know who they are.
We don't know who they are. There might be a bunch of women who are all into the National League, John.
They're just nameless. Gandemonium. We don't know who we're speaking to, but we will be speaking to someone from Gandemonium.
Exactly.
Very shortly. And Ivor Dewdney as well. It's all going off down in Cornwall this week. It's the G7
Summit. I see Truro have been
signing
some players as well, but he's, of course, not at Truro anymore, is he?
I think he left.
He left.
Can't remember. But yeah, down in Corvis Bay down there.
And they are.
Near St. Ives. Up there.
It's around the corner from St. Ives, that is, of course. G7.
It's the G7, and I think Ivor's been out. He's always with the G7. You always get people protesting, don't you? Always.
Huge. I don't know if you watch the GC, if you're a big fan of the GC, John.
What, Gemma Collins?
Yeah, I love the GC. She has a programme where they just follow her around. You know,
I've not really seen it.
Oh, she's the most confident person I've seen in my life, John. It's a real life lesson.
Okay. What, just
a
to
real
be
life lesson. Just to just go around expecting your life to be fine and confident. Be confident about it. Not caring what anyone thinks about you. And, you know, she's not horrible to people, but she just has a certain level of life that she wants. And she pays for it. And it's a real life lesson. And, I'm a big fan of the GC.
Okay. What's that going to do with anything?
The G7. I'd love Gemma Collins to turn up at the G7. It's all right, I'm here.
What was it from? Was it G4 who were on X Factor?
G4, yeah. A mixture of them. G4 and Gemma
G4
Collins.
G4 and Gemma Collins. We've got five.
Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
He's the G1. So there we are. Just need one more. You and your coat, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, we got some lovely, lovely letters.
Oh, marvellous.
And
good stuff.
One of our favourite people has won an award. We'll come on to that.
Award winning. It's not easy to win an award, John.
No.
And one of our favourite people has won an award, and we will discuss that as well. Well, it sounds like a podcast, John. Let's get on with that. Those news items.
Let's quickly run through what's going on in the National League. Well, yes. Sutton United were crowned champions. Well,
worthy winners, John. Congratulations.
Yeah, very hearty congratulations to Sutton United. You know, we've been there a couple of times now. Really nice people.
I feel like in many ways, John, it's our fault.
Do you think?
It's our fault. Because
softened them up.
They have had zero interest in them. They've had zero, nothing at all. No one's even talked about them for their whole history, other than like one FA
Cup. Other than when they played, yeah.
No one's talked about them. There'd be no focus on, right? We start this podcast, start focusing on them, go and see them. I think our first away trip was there, which we recorded from. Focused on them. We've been there, been in the director's box.
Had
Tim Vine on quite a lot. We focused on them. And here they are, winning the bloody league, John.
I know. It is probably our fault if you want to blame anyone.
I am blaming us.
maybe don't blame the fact that Torquay lost to like Wealdstone.
I'm not blaming that, John. I'm not blaming that. I'm blaming
Maidenhead.
The fact
4-1.
That we have focused 4-1. On Sutton now for 143 bloody episodes.
Yeah.
It'll be Solihull Moors next year. You what?
Their time has come.
Well, they've got
Mark Yates,
of course.
Yeah. Could happen. So yes, congratulations, Sutton. They did do it in some style. They win over Hartlepool in the last day of the season. It never ever looked in doubt. Tim Vine left us a message that pretty much said as much, and it was true. It did. You just knew they were going to get the job done, and they've done that all the way through the season. They've just ground out results.
Seven out of ten.
When Torquay
all season,
didn't,
John.
When Torquay were drawing at home to Wealdstone and losing at Altrincham and. Mm. No, something just ground out results, so fair play.
They kept everybody fit somehow.
Yeah, and had a squad full of National League experience. They did have a good run with injuries.
I'm not going to bring
right,
up the pitch because it sounds like sour grapes, right? I'm not going to, but I've just got a new thing about the pitch. I've got a new theory about the pitch, right? I'm not saying it makes a massive difference, right?
Right.
But watching the Paris tennis this week, right?
Yes.
Different surface.
Is it on the clay?
It's on clay. On clay, isn't it? Different surface. A lot of players can't play on it, John. Just look like rubbish players because the ball holds up a bit more.
They should rip it up.
They don't get the pace on the ball that they can get on grass or on a hard court.
No, this is true.
So it does affect the ball differently, which you have to say is the same. But anyway, look, listen, enough of that.
No.
Let's not blame the pitch. I'm only saying it now before the Gandanarian lads get here.
Well, we will come on to Sutton very shortly with the guys from Gandemonium.
It's a Sutton special, John.
It's a Sutton special. Just to update on the playoffs, the first leg. So the first playoff eliminator was Notts County Chesterfield. That was 3-2. A pretty
very
amazing
exciting,
back
John.
And forth game.
Oh, I watched it. It was really
just
exciting.
Kept going. You couldn't call it. And then Notts County got that winner. Mark Ellis in the last minute got his big old noggin on the end of a free kick.
Two teams who are 3-2.
But then Chesterfield still could have got a goal right at the end, couldn't they? And
they could have had about 8 goals, John.
I know.
Could have
had
about
8
goals.
An unbelievable game.
Two teams who I could not care less for. And, their manager's annoying. Not the Notts County manager.
No, James Rowe.
All right, actually, I'm disappointed in myself for judging him quite so quickly. But that Chesterfield manager, you have to sometimes put your hands up and go, they were better than us. And
I know.
He refuses to do that.
It was almost word for word the same interview he gave after Torquay had won up there last month. All about final third entries and the way he was saying, I think he said exactly the same thing about Torquay. We were happy for them to have, possession in the middle of the pitch. That didn't bother us.
As you said,
you cannot win the National League on stats. You can't legislate for Mark Ellis getting up there and scoring for the 8th time this season.
You cannot legislate for you not having a sub keeper on.
You can definitely
legislate for that. So that there's your science book out the window, pal. He'll be sacked by Christmas anyway, John, because they'll get a bad start and then Chesterfield will do it all over again.
They did, to be fair, second half of the season after he came in, their run has been pretty amazing. Got themselves right up from the bottom when most of their fans, I think, seem to think they might go down. So, to be fair to him, they'd have probably taken that when he came in, but he is really annoying. And the other playoff was Hartlepool-Bromley, and that game looked over at half-time. It was 3-0 Hartlepool. Bromley pulled two goals back in the second half to make it 3-2, and they nearly got an equaliser near the end. So two really good playoff first legs, but it's Hartlepool through to play Stockport and Notts County Torquay.
In Gary we trust. As Sam said to me earlier on, she said, Gary's done it before. She's very calming. She's very calming.
So just to round up, it was great to see Wrexham just miss out of playoffs on the final day. That was a bit of fun. Always nice to see.
That was amazing. It was the most Wrexham thing.
Rob Thingamy, McElhenney, early in Los Angeles to watch that. This is the biggest game of our season. Sorry, lads. Missed out
as
again.
I said on Twitter,
go again next season.
If you think it's fun them coming eighth this year, wait till they come eighth next year.
And Dean Keats, he did leave Wrexham. Yeah.
He's gone. So I wonder who they'll get in, John. There's big talk of Mark Hughes, I read earlier. People like that being lined up. I mean, who else? Max Boyce, who else are you going for? Catherine Jenkins? Go compare a man, is it?
Wynne Evans takes over.
Who's Tom Jones in line for the Wrexham job?
Well, we wait and see. That will be really, really...
Johan Griffith.
Really? So, yes, easily...
Neil Kinnock, Sam just said.
Neil Kinnock.
That's a good call, though, John.
It's really good.
Isn't it? Good call. He'd be a guy all right.
Neil Kinnock.
That was quite a good Neil Kinnock from me there. Just
taxi drivers scuttling up and down Liverpool.
Well, all right. I can't do it again. It's one of the ones I could only do. I could do it once.
In the moment.
Neil
impressions.
Connick. Harry Neil Connick Jr. The recipe for making love. All right. The recipe I fell over on the beach.
It's not a bad Neil Kinnock.
Pretty good, wasn't it, John?
It's good.
Pretty good. Not bad, because I spent a week playing Tony Blair. So.
Well, there you go.
Surrounding.
Very in with the Labour.
The DNA.
Labour leaders.
Exactly. So, yeah, good luck to Wrexham. Yeah. We'll follow that with interest.
Glee, I imagine.
Grimsby seem to be signing everyone.
Yeah.
They've signed, I know this is next season, John, and hopefully we won't be in the National
Not
League
bothered,
season,
yeah.
But
it could be.
I'm sort of thinking
irrelevant.
It might be. But Grimsby have signed the Wrexham captain, the Scunthorpe captain. They've basically signing everyone's captains. Team of captains.
You see, it's like Woking have gone on an absolute signing spree as well. It's always Alan Dowson's default position when things go wrong, sign another player. So he's already just signed hundreds of players, and no doubt they'll all probably be gone by Christmas.
Embarrassing for Woking, isn't it, that Sutton won the league. Terrible for them. Couldn't be worse.
Really bad. So, yes, hopefully not our problem next season, though.
No. Lovely news roundup there, John. This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
Now, of course, every league needs a champion, and the champions have to go somewhere. And it was little old Sutton that won this year, unbelievably. And they were fantastic all season, and they fully deserve it. And joining us now on the National Obsession, live on Zoom. So we'll have some pictures of this as well, won't we, John?
We will. Oh, God.
You look great, Dan. You look great. It's Dan Taylor from the Gandemonium blog and Twitter feed. And do you do a podcast, John? I think next season you should add that in.
Yeah, people have been talking about that, and we're debating. We might just stick to written word, I think.
I'd stop debating and just get on with it.
Yeah, now you're in the Football
True.
League.
Exactly. The Football League, Dan. How do you feel? Tell us about it.
It's a bit weird. I think everyone's still in a bit of shock, to be honest. Even though the fact that, you know, there's bulldozers in at the ground, digging pitch up and things like that.
Yeah.
Most people haven't quite got their heads around it yet. I don't think it'll kind of really sink into anyone until, you know, we're going to Scunthorpe on the opening day or something stupid like that. Yeah. And we're all still going, oh. Yeah, something, you know, that everyone should aspire to. You know, this is it, gents. You've reached the promised land.
This is what you wanted.
Scunthorpe in August.
What were you thinking at the start of the season? Was this ever on the cards?
No. It was, since we came up, the club's kind of view has always been the same. Just be competitive, stay in this division. We've always never denied we're a non-league club. That's what, you know, and we, to a certain extent, we still are. But the club just wanted to stay in the National, be competitive, get a 50 points every year, and then just, you know, see what happens from there. I mean, we finished third a couple of years ago. We made the playoffs. We had a good run then. And everyone thought, well, you know, that's probably as good as we're going to get. And Matt said he thought we should be top 10 with the team he had. He kept the spine of the side from last year. And yeah, he thought, you know, again, get 50 points, be competitive, and maybe just have a little flirt with the playoffs and see what happens. And then, unfortunately, no one told the team that.
You know, because a lot of, as you call them, BELTs, big English league teams. I love all your phrases, by the way.
There's lots of ways you can define the that acronym, to be brutally honest.
Oh, right. Okay. That's how I take that. Anyway.
Fair enough.
With a lot of the belt teams, it feels like they're just desperate to get out. So you feel it with Wrexham. When you go, the desperation doesn't help. You feel it with Wrexham.
Yeah.
Definitely feel it at the moment with Notts County, Chesterfield, you know, to a certain extent, Torquay United. But at Sutton, we've always felt, oh no, they seem happy in this place. And I think actually that contentment and that lack of stress helps the team an awful lot. And what you've got in that Sutton United team is a lot of 7-8 out of 10 every single week.
Yeah.
Solid National League players. And you've had no injury. And it's come together, mm-hmm. And your manager's obviously good. Your manager's probably too good. What you want is a really bad start to your campaign in League Two. Because if you're in the top three at Christmas, he will get poached.
Well, there's that. And our chairman, Bruce, will probably keel over with a heart attack if that
happens. He's obviously turned out to be a great appointment, you know, in hindsight. But he didn't have much of a... kind of a sort of a noticeable career before that. So obviously really speaks that Bruce and the rest of the club really did their homework and found someone who just fitted perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, he'd been an assistant for a good few years because he retired really early as a player. I think it was like 25, 26. And yeah, he'd always been an assistant. So he'd always been in and around this level. And he knew Doz, our previous manager, and Baird, his assistant, really well. And I think a lot of it was that they saw that the players kind of liked him, responded to him, you know, on a coaching level. And obviously he had the two outgoing guys kind of seal of approval, if you like. And I think that certainly helped maybe calm any nerves about at a club level that he was inexperienced. I mean, he had a hard time before the last season. Up to Christmas, you know, we results weren't going our way. And to be fair, a lot of clubs probably would have sacked the guy because he didn't win for 2 months.
Right.
But that's not the kind of club we are. We don't make knee-jerk decisions. You know, they're a little bit realistic, as you were saying earlier, Charlie. They're realistic. They kind of understand what they want to do. And, you know, they just gave him a chance. And I think we also reaped the benefits of that this season. In that he went that extra mile to kind of repay the faith the club had in him last season.
As a Sutton fan, you must be extremely bored of talking about the pitch.
That's actually the only good thing about it being dug up. Don't have to listen
you don't
to
have
all
to
the
mention
this anymore.
Have you been down to the Gander Green Lane and grabbed some of the rolled up 3G as a memento?
I haven't. I know a couple of the lads who have. Unofficially, because I haven't been down in a few days, but I think there's about half of it rolled up in the car park just waiting for transport away.
Yeah.
But I know a couple of lads have had a little bit, and we're auctioning certain bits off as well just for...
Oh,
that's good.
Are you auctioning the bit off where Acer Hall scored his header?
If you'd have said, we could have got you that bit. I mean, if it meant that much to you, we could have got it. We cut it out.
It might be we have from this season.
I just want to do two things. I think you should have a full brown away kit.
Yeah, we're trying to get that. That
would be so brilliant.
We've lost the 3G, so we need something else to boil.
Exactly. A fully
that's
brown,
what we want.
Full brown socks, brown shorts, brown, just full brown. It'd be so, such a good away kit. Be iconic. Be absolutely brilliant. Just tell us about the blog, Gandemonium. It's a few of you lads in it, and it's not just about football. It's where you can have a good pint and about all sorts of music, all sorts of stuff. It's brilliant.
It's everything. It's just, you know, it's just a load of nonsense masquerading as under the sort of disguise of being football related. Yeah, we all watch Sutton, we go everywhere, but yeah, it's the pubs, the day out. It's we started it just to show that there is supporter culture and that there are serious, you know, sad sacks watching football, going everywhere, watching these kind of teams. It's a bit of fun. We have a laugh with it. And if people enjoy it and get a laugh out of it as well, which seems to be the case. So we'll keep doing it.
Brilliant. Good. Dan, we said if it wasn't us, we hoped it would be you.
So, appreciate that.
Which we stick by. Thank you for joining us.
Pleasure.
This is the National Obsession.
The National Obsession.
This is the National Obsession with John Cadogan and temporarily not Charlie Baker. He's had to pop off, but I'm delighted to say that while Charlie is away temporarily, we can catch up with Ivor Dewdney, our man down in Cornwall. And it's a very, very big week coming up down there. Ivor, how are you?
Hello?
Ivor?
Hello, who is it?
Ivor, it's John from the National Obsession.
Who?
John from the... From the National Obsession, we've spoken, 143 episodes, and we've spoken a lot.
I've got no time for you. Are you a world leader?
I'm not a world leader.
I have no time for you, yeah, there's John Cadogan.
There's a lot more important things going on down in Cornwall this week.
Oh, we're big time now.
You've got the G7 here. Down there, haven't you?
Got G7 here. They're all coming down, all seven of them. They're all coming down, the seven Gs. You may have 4G, and since you've had your vaccine, 5G. But you haven't heard that one, isn't it? And then in your arm there, got the old 5G. We got G7 down here. And that is the seven biggest people in the world, John. They're all coming down. Seven tallest.
It's the old Simon Block-Jorgensen. It's the same Dulwich Hamlet keeper, is he there?
Simon Block-Jorgensen will be here. A couple of basketball players. Richard Osman. They're all coming down, John.
Peter Crouch.
No, not tall enough.
Oh, okay.
Has not made it into the seven, unfortunately for him.
That's
didn't
a
make
shame.
The plane. So the G7 summit, there are big world leaders, John. World leaders gathering down here in the centre of the world. Bloody Carbis Bay in it, which for me is not proper Cornwall,
not
John.
The right bit of Cornwall for you,
tourist
is it?
Tourist Cornwall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tourist. I'd have had it in a tin mine on Bodmin Moor.
A bit dark, isn't it?
Nope. You'd have taken a lamp down there and a bloody giving them a bloody pasty.
Yeah.
There's no bloody terrorists down the Tin Man, John. What a lovely folk song that is. Let's all sing it now. There's no terrorists down the Tin Man, John. There's no terrorists down the Tin Man, John. Osama bin Laden, he can't get down the Tin Man. He don't know where the lift is, John. Osama. No, don't say that. It gets rude after that. It's an old rugby song. And then there, Saddam Hussein, he don't know about tin. He don't know how to make a pasty, John. But there's no terrorist down the tin mine on Bodmin Moor. Stick them in the Boardman jail, the that's a rugby song.
It's an old rugby song.
It's an old rugby song. So I apologise for the language there, John. But yeah, we got them all coming down here. They'll have to pay the bloody bridge like everyone else, though, John.
Now, this is what I was wondering.
Joe Biden, don't one think of the... you can get away with a bloody bridge by coming in on a helicopter or something.
One of the sort of things that always happens with these big summits of world leaders, there's always people protesting. So I wonder if you're going to be at the side of the road. The prices of the bridge may be made more expensive.
Through. Because I'm trying to get some secret investment to try and get back in at Truro City FC, John.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm desperate to get back into football. You know, we all remember I left Truro City FC and I want to get back in there, John, somehow. And I think the only way I can get back in is by being an owner. So I'm hoping Kim Jong-un turns up. Kim Jong-un, Zoom. You're on mute, Kim Jong. You're on mute. He's muted the whole of North Korea, John. You're on mute, Kim Jong-un. Nil point. I don't know where I was going with that, John. But there we are. Kim Jong-un, I'm hoping he turns up to the summit.
Yeah.
And then when they say summit, John, is it like G7 or summit?
You've really worked on your comedy this week, Ivor. You
really had a good go
at it.
Never
knew that you were sort of...
well, I'm in a good mood, John.
You're trying the old stand-up.
We've got the world leaders coming down. Joe Biden's coming down. We got the Prime Minister, leaders from India, South Korea and Australia. And it's the 47th meeting of the group.
Right.
What will be the talking points of the John? This is just me talking now, John. I think they'll be talking about the global response to the COVID pandemic.
Yep.
Bloody rubbish! Climate change, John. Are we talking about that? Don't have to worry about that in bloody Cornwall.
No.
Hey, I tell you where you don't have to worry about climate change, John. Down a bloody tin mine. You don't have to worry about climate change. If you're down a tin mine, eating tin and getting cancer. That's one of the sadder verses, isn't it? That, but why is the G7 in Cornwall, John? The summit's being held in the UK because it currently holds the presidency of the group. That's why, John.
Right.
Okay, visit Cornwall.
Of course they went to Cornwall.
That's who I'm working for. Visit Cornwall.
Okay.
In an unofficial capacity, John. They expect the total economic impact to be £50 million.
Really?
I'm hoping for a slice of that,
John. £50 million for Cornwall. That's good.
Hoping for a slice of that, John.
Yeah.
So I can get
you can get and buy Truro.
The old fingers on Truro City. Do you know where I'd put the pitch, John?
No.
Down a tin mine on Bodmin Moor. You'd try playing football down a tin mine. We'd be used to it. They wouldn't. Would they?
I think we've learnt all
nothing
we can.
Nothing above head height.
We've learnt all we can about the G7 from you.
No, cheerio then, whatever your name is. All the best. Get on. Bye now.
The National Obsession.
You are listening to The National Obsession, and it's time for Letters from a Listener.
When you go, will you send back a letter from a listener?
Any letters, John?
We have letters.
Ooh.
Oh, yes.
And we've got an actual letter, haven't we, John?
Yes, we have. I'll come to that last.
Oh, lovely, lovely stuff.
We have two digital letters first, or otherwise known as emails.
Digilets.
Andy Charles.
Ah,
he
lovely,
was furious
Andy.
That we were off for a few weeks because he sent this back in mid-May.
Well, this is going to be a relevant letter, Andy.
You know that we're non-linear. Anyway, he says, Dear Charlie and John, on the ice to you both, I write with a long and emotional request, perhaps including a significant amount of begging. I don't know if you recall the day you allowed me to become a foff.
Some numbers, Andy.
He says, some nondescript number in the mid-20s. I can tell you, Andy, there's nothing Andy, nondescript about the foff.
If you don't know your own number, then...
A foff is a privileged position. It can be taken away just as easily as it was given out.
John's on the threats.
24.
Trying to lose Foff.
Well, if you don't appreciate it, Andy, hand it back in. Someone else will have it. Foff 24, Andy.
Foff 24. Very good.
He says, I'm back now because the next Foff number to come up is the one that I so desperately wanted originally all those years ago. It's number 47. It's my old stomping ground, for want of a better term.
The old stomping ground, is it?
The house in, the house in TQ1. Which I was brought up in. And indeed my new stomping ground, as I've recently sold my flat in Feltham and returned to that very same home permanently to look after my dear old mum, 92 and counting.
Well, that's really, really
lovely.
At the heart
good old Andy. Yeah, this is an emotional letter.
Jeez, John. Some would say emotional blackmail.
He says, so what can I do to swap my FOF status? Is such a thing allowed? Must I appeal to the Court of Arbitration for FOFs, hanging Judge Hearst in session, perhaps? This would mean an awful lot to me, my family and friends, and anyone who doesn't know me. Or am I going to have to, as seems to be the way in US sports, ask whoever you give number 47 to for the swap and potentially have to cop up thousands of pounds? Knowing my luck, you'll give it to bloody Roger or bloody Brian and I'll have bloody chance. Anyway, I rest my case, Andy. P.S. Bloody hell, Umera.
Bloody hell, Amara.
Bloody hell.
Come on, Amara. Score Saturday.
What do we think?
Well, Andy's been very good to us, John. What I'd normally say is something like, if Torquay win on Saturday, you could, but it's too much pressure on it anyway. None of us can cope.
Do you know
anyway,
what?
Can we? So
the emotional blackmail, it's been one of those years. I feel like we should grant
that
the
request. That's opened up FOF 24, John, isn't it?
So Andy Charles, Kudunch, FOF 47. So Andy, the first FOF transfer, congratulations to you. And yeah, FOF 24 is open, position vacant.
If anyone wants to change their number to FOF 24, we can, if you are already currently a FOF, although, John, we do have a new FOF, of course, don't we?
Do we?
Because, John, Mark Hepworth team won.
Ah, so there we go.
Mark Hepworth team won. They managed to win a football match. Congratulations to Mark up there in Chesterfield. I think they were 3-0 up and then the other team came back to 3-2, but they managed to hold on despite Mark's management.
So there you go.
Congratulations, Mark.
FOF 24.
FOF 24. Chugunk.
Kajunsh.
Any other letters, John?
Yeah, a couple more letters to get through. I said to get through.
Really, just wade through.
Just speed through it now. Chris Q gets Chris in touch. Q. You are currently in a queue. He says, dear the National Obsession, this is my third email to you, and after two reasonably well-received emails, I just hope this isn't
the third one, John. It's a little bit asky, isn't it?
I hope this isn't the be here now to my previous definitely maybe and what's the story morning glory, or Gary Harris to Gary Johnson and Cyril Knowles. Hashtag not a talkie podcast. We're currently eating bucket loads of humble pie here at Meadow Lane after sacking Neil Lardley. With games in hand and being well-placed for automatic promotion, we were quite surprised to see us attempt to solve our failings of always trying to play technical football with little pragmatism and defensive nous by appointing a manager even more intent on playing pretty football, with a career win rate of 25%. However, after six losses in his first 10 matches, including an FA Trophy semi-final loss to Hornchurch,
the old stomping ground, of course.
Ian Birchnell, a dead ringer for comedians.
Won an award, Dave.
Ian Birchnell, a dead ringer for
comedians. Wasn't aware I was
volunteer. Ray Duffy, thought he was charging.
Thought I was putting an invoice in, to be honest, Dave, but I'll take Volunteer of the Year. I was wondering why the invoices haven't been paid.
Congratulations, Ray.
Congratulations to Ray Duffy. Kept us all in touch for the whole season, giving us a lot of fun as well, John. What was your favourite quote from the last?
Sometimes just the bells of St. What is it? The bells of St. Mary Church.
St. Mary Church. Is the St. Mary bells St. Mary Church?
It was the Barnet game.
A dog in the distance.
I've got it because he recorded seagull. It. Hold on.
A dog in the distance.
Here it is.
Bells of St. Mary Church, a seagull and a distant dog give way to the plane we'll play for.
That was just after a minute of silence. The bells of St. Mary Church, a couple of seagulls and a distant dog. Give way.
But you, John, give way you know to what, John? More faithful. You paint the picture.
A distant dog.
You paint the picture as a... As a commentator, and we knew exactly where we were from Ray there. So
absolutely.
Look, congratulations, Ray. Very, very well done.
Anyway, back to Chris Q.
John's cruelty all season.
Back to Chris Q. He says, after that FA Trophy semi-final loss to Hornchurch, Ian Birchnell has got us playing lovely football and breaking into form at the right time.
It's
and
annoying,
if the pretty stuff
annoying.
Fails, we just pump it long into the box for goal machine centre-back Loney and ex-Torquay player Mark Ellis. Boom. A big well done to Ian and our chairman for making the change. Notts County are up against Torquay on Saturday in the playoff semi-final.
Thank you.
I just wanted to wish you both the best of luck and may the best team win.
Are
on the ice, Chris Q.
What?
I hadn't thought about it, Chris. Anyway, Chris Q, obviously angling there for a Foff number.
Well,
I think
angling
we wait
for it.
Until after the
No, we can't do that. That would be a real
feel.
Salty thing to do.
Let's see how
John.
We feel. We could offer him really patronising when we win. It's all right, Chris, have a Foff number.
I think we should give Chris to allay the gods, to allay the karma gods that may have been upset this week. Chris Q, you are Foff number 48.
Couldn't.
Any other letters, John?
One other letter. We do. Do you remember we were talking about old adverts the other week and we asked Clive Hayward to sing that one?
Play
Clive
it.
Says, here is the approximate version of that radio advert. It was Ralph Bell's solicitors or something. Here we go.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Do, 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 free phone Ralph Bell. Do, 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 free phone Ralph Bell. Do, 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 do. And then it gave the phone number. There you go, chaps. On the ice.
On the ice. Clive. It's beautiful,
very
wasn't
nice.
It? Do, 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 do. Free foam, Ralph Bell. It's up there. It's up there. It's not quite driving to pick and park at Ipple Pen, driving to pick and park, park and pick away. And it is definitely no 211, 611, top 8, Texas are the best in Devon.
Reliable.
Oh, we never know the next one, do we?
Can anyone tell us whatever happened to Ralph Bell?
Ralph Bell.
Oh, here you go.
Oh, here we go.
There you go. 52-year-old closed down his Torquay practice in 1996, blaming financial problems. 52-year-old dismissed his staff of 24.
Brilliant.
In 1996. Get out of the building. You've got half an hour.
You're getting paid off. Do try and sue me. I'm a solicitor. I can't afford the free phone. Free phone, Ralph Bell. Lovely stuff. Well, thank you, Clive. Anything else, John?
Finally,
lovely.
Physical letter.
Wow, they
in the
tracked
post
you down
this week. Absolutely. Thank you very much to someone that we thought had long since given up listening to the National Obsession. FOF 42, Daisy Seller, aka Altrincham Jean.
Day Altrincham Jean. Here she is.
She says, "Dear John and Charlie, I hope you're well. I picked you guys a little something up from the OTV Torquay game,
oh.
the last game of the season. I hope you like it. All the best in the playoffs, although I want Bromley to go up as everybody else is a good away trip. Have a great summer on the ice, Daisy." Well, bad luck on
the
Bromley,
ice, Jean.
Daisy. Unfortunately, you got that again next season.
Well,
but
done, yep.
Daisy has sent the programme Robin's Review, the official matchday magazine of Altrincham Football Club from the game against Torquay United. From the boardroom, co-chairman Bill Waterson. From the dressing room, Captain Jake Malt.
Wow.
Football Matters with director Rob Estevar.
What a lovely thing.
Staff.
That is proper foff behaviour. Not asking to change your number, to be
really
honest.
Lovely.
That's proper foff behaviour. Sending in recordings of yourself singing old adverts from the early 90s or sending in lovely programmes. That's proper foff behaviour.
Really lovely.
Lovely. Thank you so much. On the ice to you,
on the
Daisy
ice, Daisy.
Seller.
Really, really kind.
Altrincham Jean. Really kind. Thank you so much. Hope we don't play you next season, but who knows? We might be, John.
May well be.
I can't even go to the game. And nor can you.
Damn it.
You're away,
I can't.
You, John,
yeah,
so
I'm off to the Euros.
Absolute
the
fair
next
weather
morning.
Fans.
But I will. If we get to the final, I'm there.
Good luck to Gary and the lads. Come on, you
good
yellows.
Luck. NationalObsession@gmail.com if you want to email us at NatOpsPod on your Twitter.
There we are. Up the girls. Yellow Army.
Beautiful.
On the ice, John.
See ya.
The National Obsession with John Cadogan and Charlie Baker.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.